Welcome to Ever Beyond.
Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And yes, you are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Welcome to Ever Beyond. Finally, I'm up and I'm awake. Oh, I'm so sorry. I woke up at 8 o'clock GMT today, and of course it's my Audrey's show starts at 7 o'clock GMT, more like PMT, yeah. So I'm running an hour late, but you know, it's actually, you know, this is a bit like being in the time in the spring and autumn when the clocks go backwards and forwards. I used to call them Nightmare Fortnight. Because everybody, nobody would know what time to join the show. And it would be 2 hours out. You know, they'd be completely, flummoxed. So anyway, if Audrey's still online, I'll bring him in. And, well, let's see. Where were we? Yeah, I was talking about the multidimensional beingness kind of idea, which is actually, I was having a conversation with a friend earlier on. This is the way we're going, and kind of like what Nancy was talking about. So maybe I could talk about, because she said you pick up fragments from your own life, and that's very true. In the sessions that I've been doing with people, which helps them, recover memory, through the use of a very simple breathing technique, through connecting with feeling. And it seems, yeah, just kind of to mull over this, you know, since it's my show, I can mull. Let's have a little mull. About the idea of how it is that we have been so taken away from our center. How come nobody is calm? How come everybody's so excited these days? Like the coffee shop girl who just, like, the lid came off and all kinds of random came out. And this is how a lot of people are behaving. If they haven't been able to channel it into being able to simply express the feelings that they're having. And this is all the problem, you know, really. It's about the suppression of feelings. And these happen from our birth onwards, maybe even for some people before their birth, that these moments when we are expressing what we're feeling and we are completely trodden on, the steamroller comes. That's a very common image of being, you know, beaten down or stamped down or stomped down, and all through our childhood, little fragments of us have been kind of stomped off. It's like they stomp down and then they, you know, that breaks a piece of us off and that leaves a fragment there. And if it was another lifetime, it would be a ghost. But if it's this lifetime, it would be a triggered memory. So hang on a second. Where's my mouse? All right. It would be a triggered memory, which would be something that was, you know, literally stomped on, and we force ourselves to not feel that feeling anymore. We twist it out of ourselves. And we do it, like I was saying with Deb, by not breathing, by holding our breath. And, you know, by holding your breath is a sort of negative yoga. It's like, it does the opposite of what yoga does, which is, it contracts, it freezes, because it's something very, very hot and it throws a lot of cold and it twists it out. My image is like, you have a feeling that is like a kind of, is a thing the size of an orange, and it's burning hot, and you push it behind your kind of firewall of yourself, the membrane around you, and you wrap the membrane around, then you twist the orange, and then all that you see from the inside is a little kind of twisting, you know, little kind of twist that you freeze, and that's a kind of analogy for it. It's almost, you know, that's what's happening, because when somebody touches the now very stretched membrane that's on the outside that has that feeling the size of an orange inside it that is burning hot, that stimulates you to think that they made you feel that feeling.
You made me feel that. You made me feel like this. How could you do that?
You know, they didn't do anything. They didn't do it even consciously. Usually, most of the time. People don't trigger each other deliberately unless you're pranking or, you know, or you're being a woo-woo master or something like that. So yes, emotion, energy and motion indeed, Shane. So, indeed, do you want to come in, and talk about stuff like this? Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, you know, it seems to be my subject these days. This is, you know, because it's really important. Everybody's got PTSD. How do we cure PTSD? Like this. We breathe it. We breathe it through. Because the main problem, and you will notice, over and over and over again with every single person who's come to me as a client, the issue, even with people who do yoga every day, because that's doing it all very consciously, but still the subconscious processes are still there. And, you know, it's great to learn techniques. So using that technique to heal yourself is really good. Yeah. So if you have done yoga and you still feel like you've got PTSD and stuff, there's just a few more extra little steps. And basically the big step, the hardest step, is to sit with the uncomfortable feeling. And that's the part that the therapist takes, or the, you know, the, whatever you want to, I don't feel like calling myself a healer. I don't feel like calling myself a therapist. I don't know what to call myself in this position. A friend. I just sit with them and I invite them to sit with that feeling too. And by continuing to breathe and sit with the feeling, that's how you overcome. And that's the hardest thing. And that's the only hard moment. And the rest comes in an unfolding delight of finding a fragment of your past self, of your own self, a part of yourself that you recognize as being you, a part of yourself that you remember having those feelings now. And you remember all the sights and the sounds and, oh wow, memory comes back. Abilities come back. Joys come back. Things that you love doing. Oh, I remember now. When I was 5, I used to love, you know, going and collecting flowers and pressing flowers and, you know, classifying them, writing in books, you know, and then they become a nature illustrator. People do these things. People have these lovely things that they do when they're 5 that is then completely stomped on. And yet that's, you know, essentially that's the life purpose. It's imprinted at 5, you know. Your soul says, you know, well, this is, well, it's just, you just know you have so much connection when you're 5. And that's why it's so fragile, that connection. And when it gets broken, as it does, and it always does, we're all traumatized into it. This is the human condition, as they call it. The earth condition. The earth human condition. It's not always a human condition, but essentially, we have suffered, as I've been saying for a long time, from a collective human trauma. which is like a kind of birth trauma. And it's essentially the trauma of being separated from our collective. You know, people say, I feel like I'm separated from source, or I'm looking for my twin flame. They're essentially the feeling of having broken away from collective. It's horrible. It's very, very lonely. It's like, if you ever see Star Trek Voyager, I was looking at this the other day. Jerry Ryan plays a Borg who was connected in with a mental telepathy, a mechanical telepathy collective. And they disconnect her. The crew of the Star Trek disconnect her, almost against her will. But they have to do it to disarm this kind of rather dangerous being. So they have to disconnect her. And the story is, you know, to see her, you know, becoming human again, learning how to become human. What is it? What's being human? You know, we see so much inhumanity that where does being human come? Oh, somebody just called me. I'll just pull them back in. So, all right, okay. So first of all, let's bring in Cheyenne and see where we start with this. And Cheyenne, it's Cheyenne, isn't it? Or Cheyenne? How do you pronounce it?
Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, lovely. Hello.
Hi, JP.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Are you live?
We're live. You're live as well.
Excellent.
It's Sunday.
I'll turn off my other input here.
Fantastic. Oh, you can hear me
as well. So I'm getting feedback.
Yes, indeed.
Happy Sunday.
Thank you very much. Happy Sunday and happy, where are we? We're in Aquarius. Yay! Happy Aquarius.
Good morning.
Oh,
how are
yeah.
you this morning?
Oh, talk about morning. I tell you, I only just woke up. Oh.
It's morning, like,
time is so very strange. Right. Yeah, like I sleep for 3 hours one night and I sleep for 20 hours the next. You know, it's just ridiculous. So anyway, but I don't have much time to sleep because I'm having to keep the radio station going. But thankfully, thanks.
You're the man.
Thanks to Walt and Nancy. Yeah, right. So great it is. Thanks to Walt and Nancy.
You're the man.
They've stepped in and stepped up and stepped into the role of running their own radio station. Yay! Hang on, let's have a quick yay for Walt and Nancy.
Yay, Walt and Nancy!
Yeah.
Way to go!
Yay! There we go, some cheers. Yeah. Yeah.
We faced the beast of technophobia.
That's Walt.
Way to go, Walt.
Cheerfully swinging through the jungles of Minnesota.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, yes.
So,
you know, it's like raising children. They'll give you a computer and they'll give you a keyboard, but there's no requirements or licensing, you know? Anybody can do it.
Like we were talking before, you know, for me as a guy, talking a lot is hard work. You know, this is work.
It's
I should
very
be paid for
difficult.
This.
You are, JP, stop. Right. You're pouring energy out. Mm. And you need to realize as well, love is meant to be returned.
Yeah.
So you're opening yourself as a hollow bone. You're allowing this channel to open from your higher self and you're pouring it out there. Just know we're here sending it back and it's meant to be returned to you. You cannot just live on the right foot. You got to use your left. You got to receive as well as give. So hold that space and send that balance.
I know. You can't breathe in all the time.
You cannot breathe in all the time.
Yeah.
You have to exhale.
Yeah. So it's a cycle and it's, yeah. So yes. So that's why I like to invite guests on, and have them talk to me about what they've learned.
Such an honor. It's such an honor to do that.
Sweetheart. and, you know, it's great fun. It's great fun because we're all learning that we're all part of a big puzzle. Even people who you thought, like, how does this person on this native reservation connect with that person over there in Switzerland? You know, how does this person in a hippie camp in Leicester connect with that person in Siberia over there?
And now, I don't know if it's true. I heard 88% of all humans will have a remote device in their hand connecting them to this World Wide Web by the end of the millennia. Now, if that's true, anyone will be able to speak, connect, and see anyone on the planet. Now, is that not an alteration of reality in itself?
Well, that's the now stepping up into the collective consciousness. It's not mind, it's not telepathic, but it is collective.
We can use the technology, but does it not remind us all that we have that technology on board inside of us?
And the, like I was saying, you know, just before you called in, it's about accessing that feeling part of us, which has the gateways and the library cards to tap into that library. But we can only do it, we can't do it through our mind, through our mental focus or anything like that. We can only do it through our heart feeling focus.
However, I will draw on some ancient mysteries here. You cannot live by emotion alone.
That's right.
Nor can you live. My tribe, my teachers would say, the human mind is a dangerous place to go.
Nice so, place to visit, but I wouldn't like to live there.
Yes. There is a old teaching. It's not my own. I don't own it, so I don't claim it. But it has been shared with me from various sources. To remember when you breathe, if you have a conflict, if you have a question that you can't answer, if you just can't seem to make a decision today about something that's confronting you, when you breathe, to feel about 2 inches above the belly button, feel what's going on there. Now check into the heart on the next breath. Take a couple of deep breaths in the heart. Now, in the next couple of breaths, allow the mind to speak. Now, if they're not in alignment, those 3 points, those are the 3 critical torsion fields or energy fields of the 3 aspects of self, the 3 primary spiritual aspects of self. If those 3 are not in alignment, you will find that conflict. It may be the intellect. It may be the heart. It may be the gut. You're going to feel in the gut. We don't say, oh, I felt that in my head. No, unless you have a migraine. You're going to say, I felt that in my gut. You have a gut feeling about it, right? So those 3 need to be in alignment before you make a choice and move forward. If they're not in alignment, address the conflict.
Exactly.
But don't shut off your intellect. I mean, your intellect is a critical aspect of self. But also don't discount how you feel about it. Listen to all of them.
Hmm.
Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I say is you're either thinking or you're breathing.
But you can breathe and think at the same time.
Well, you can breathe and feel. It's actually hard to consciously breathe and think, you know, use your mental. So it focuses you down in your heart, you see, when you consciously breathe.
Yes. Also, when you're in a meditative state, when you're adjusting your theta and coming into that altered mind state, there's a lot of breath involved in that to me. What do you think?
Well, being stuck in the mind is the result of all this trauma and the result of not being able to breathe properly. this is, you know, where I was getting to. And the cure for it is simply to apply the breath in places where we normally have been, educated to run away from, i.e. feelings and bad things, bad feelings. We're not supposed to feel bad feelings. So make it, you know, I basically invite my people to sit with these uncomfortable feelings until we can have a conversation with them. And then when the conversation happens, there's a reintegration. When the reintegration happens, there's a healing. Go ahead.
We tend to go to, I walk two roads. I was born half red and half white. So much of my life, I heard the message, you're just too sensitive. You know, that message, sadly, is still very strong today. I was telling someone about having an issue with cardboard boxes full of flame retardant, and that I had to learn that I needed to protect myself if I was going to handle a lot of cardboard boxes. Anyway, oh, you are chemically sensitive, aren't you? Like, it was very judgmental. And I thought, that's such a standard operating mode, isn't it? If my body has a message and I actually attune to that and listen to that, all of a sudden people are offended by that. They're judgmental. Threatened in a way.
Triggered.
Right?
Triggered, definitely.
Triggered. That's the word.
Yep.
So why are we allowing ourselves to be triggered when our bodies, which are this phenomenal tool, we have crystals all over our body that douse all kinds of sensitive, ultra subtle energies that are messengers. This is my temple. This is my freaking temple. Now I can shite all over my temple if I want. That's free will. Or I can say, wait a minute. There's a message here. I think I want to pay attention to it. So I want to encourage others to say, wait a minute. This is not about you being broken and that you have a sensitivity. This is your body saying, I'm not the canary in the coal mine. I'm the goddess in Eden, and I need to listen to these messages that maybe this doesn't belong in my temple. This is my sacred vessel.
Maybe you don't belong in a coal mine.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. There you go. So when did we flip everything 180 and demonize the messenger when it was the message we needed to be listening to? So I'm sorry, I'm a little bit on my soapbox on that, but I find that patronizing and offensive, that people are threatened if someone is paying attention to the message.
Well, I tell you why, is because, you know, you're threatening their work, their livelihood,
yes,
or
reality.
Their job, or their, you know, my job, it's not worth, what they say, it's not what my job's worth, isn't it? It's more than my job's worth to stand up to the man. And that, you know, this is the excuse that's been made for so many people. And we call them, these people in Britain, job's worth, you know, because they say, you know,
well,
oh, can't
can
do that more than my job's worth.
Life. You can stand up for death. You really don't have a lot of choices in this party.
Well, this was back in the 20th century when people thought they could do that. It's really much more in our face these days. You know, threat of sheer and immediate annihilation of this world, or
well,
you know,
JP, yeah. JP, I have a brief message, and I promise I won't go off on the soapbox too much
right.
on this.
Take
but
a breath.
I want to
take
say one thing to everybody who's listening today: if you stop buying the toxins, if you don't spend your voting currency on weaponized medicine, weaponized food, and weaponized cleaning products, and weaponized whatever, body care. If you say, I will not do that, any longer. How long do you think it would be on the shelf at Walmart? 0 days. Zero. If you simply do not buy what is being sold, it goes away.
There you go. Don't buy it. Don't, you see, this, you this know, is the, and, but you see, Cheyenne, but this is more than just products. This is taxation. This is money in itself. This is, insurance.
I want to talk about that for a second. I stand on my moral ground with all of these things. And I can give you personal stories about all of it. I won't bore your audience with it. I'm not going to go there. However, I want to say this right now to everybody. How long do you think there would be a tax code if zero people paid into it tomorrow? Zero. If we turn to each other, if we reach across the fence, bake an oatmeal cookie for the neighbor, roll the trash bin out for the neighbor whose knees are injured and they can't do it without pain, do something for the guy next door every single day that helps them to smile and be a little more comforted in the world, you would wake up to an entirely different planet tomorrow. But when you feed the parasite with the open door inside of each of you, the parasite continues to fester and grow. Pathogens can only feed on an environment that will allow them to expand upon the environment. An environment of love, acceptance, embracing your fellow man is not the environment for psychopaths and pathogens to feed upon. So I'm not trying to blame anyone for our current situation. I'm trying to point out a simple fact. We all hold the key to turning this ship around.
And here's the thing.
Simply turn off screen.
Yep.
Walk outside and say, what is the weather today, instead of depending on the weatherman? By the way, not one of them have their heads out of their butts and can look out the window. So why are you listening to what they have to say? America, Europe, whoever you are listening tonight, turn it off. Remember that it's just a false distraction from your own power, your own ability to use analytical conscious thinking to discern for yourself. Dowels, pendulum, whatever it takes you to tune back into the truth. And the truth can be known. This is not the world of solipsism. There is truth to be known. You can know it within yourself. You can know it for yourself. Now, what I eat that's good for me may poison my neighbor. We can't all eat the same foods. We're each snowflakes energetically. There's no two patterns alike. Each person's energy field is unique. My truth of what's best and highest good for me may not be the truth of what's best and highest good for you. But you know what is best to put in your body, and you know when you're running right through the red light. Everybody knows when they run the red light, whatever that red light is. So stop for a second and say, what is it inside of me that wants to push past the red light into self-destruction? Let me turn around for a second. Am I loving myself enough to give myself all the gifts that life has to offer? Because nobody's going to give anybody anything they don't love themselves enough to give. And these pathogens, this psychopathy of our community and of our social situation right now, each of us has the power to make a huge, enormous difference. But being in victimhood is not the solution. We can woe, woe, woe is me over who did what to who and on what day and how much and blah, blah, blah. Yes, there has been trauma. But I've been taught some simple solutions for trauma release in my own cell memory. Each of us have the power to step into that wisdom. Each of us. I'll be glad to teach a class. I'll do a radio show, whatever it takes. But we cannot stay in victimhood. Because for there to be a perpetrator, there needs to be a willing victim. For there to be a willing victim, we have a perpetrator. This is a world of duality we are talking about. The options are in the third door of the triptych, not the first and second door. There's another door where we create our reality to be that of our dreams and our highest and best good within our hearts, vibrating in unison with our gut and our intellect, all coming together. And I went off of my soapbox and I promised to.
I started to hear Land of Hope and Glory. But anyway, so, that's, thank you, first of all. Trauma release techniques, I'm always open for them. I'd love to be a repository of trauma release techniques because this is what it's all about. Because if we don't release the trauma, we'll keep repeating it. We'll keep doing all this stuff. So we have to come back. And this is what I was saying before about Father has to come home. We have to bring Father back in into our own selves. And the Father aspect, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, is this part of you that says, okay, I'm here. I'm in charge. The buck stops here. Now what's coming up? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. And you have a conversation. I believe that all illness, you know, things that even accidents, so-called accidents, they're a conversation.
They're a conversation. If you'll listen.
They're probably the last stage in the conversation. You know how somebody's like not listening and not listening and not listening and you're getting more and more annoyed and finally you slap them to wake them up? You know, that's the universe doing that to you. If you have a bike crash or something like that.
Well, let's call that a little death.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's
call
that
bike crash a little death.
Well, yes. It's the first death. Let's put it that way.
Big deaths and little deaths. Yeah. Okay. So as a great teacher taught me, and hold out your hand and this is your pain. I cannot take it from you. You picked it up. You will carry it until you learn what it has come to teach you. Unfortunately for humans, pain is the greatest teacher. Now, there are other teachers, non-painful teachers, but sadly most humans choose pain as the teacher. But no one can take anyone's pain until they're ready to set it down. And hopefully some will learn other little deaths so that they don't have to die the big death to get the memo. Now, car wrecks, drama with family members, these are some of the little deaths. We've all heard the stories. Right?
We get them.
Yeah. However, from a trauma release standpoint, to go to the therapist and tell the story of when you were violated over and over and over again does one thing and one thing only.
It reinforces
the trauma field. It's like saying to the rapist, I give you every day of my life now. The rapist may be long gone and dead, but you're saying, oh, I'm going to lay down and take it again and take it again and take it again. Because by telling the story, you are recreating the event literally and figuratively from your energy over and over again. See, we're vessels of energy that flows continuously and nonstop. And as the great shaman will tell you, when you step into the lodge and it's your turn to pray out loud, there is an endless, boundless, infinite line of ancestors before you and an endless bound of infinite ancestors behind you. And when it's your turn to speak, you are praying for all of them out loud, right here, right now. You darn better have something to say. And I've got news for you. If you don't, the shaman will take that energy and use it for that shaman's self and that shaman's intent. Guess what happens in America and other countries every day? People are not taking their energy and praying and realizing that every word and thought is a prayer. Every breath is a connection with Creator in a vibrational recreation of reality within their own self, in their own temple. Therefore, other magicians are mesmerizing and hypnotizing you and using that energy for their own intentions. So by taking charge of your dominion, taking charge of the energy that flows within you, and saying, this is my birthright, this is my dominion, I stand within it now in all time space, I call those who love me in all time space to stand with me in my intention and have a clear thought field of that intention, that changes reality for all time space. But to just lay down and take it and tell the sorry story over and over again ain't going to cut it, people. I got news for everybody listening. It is not going to change anything. All you're doing is reinforcing the reality that you're woeing over. If you sit on your knees and pray to God, and I'm not criticizing anybody who's Christian at all, but hear me well. If you sit on your knees and go, I need $200 to pay my electric bill, the universe will say one thing and one thing only. The answer is always yes. So if I sit on my knees and I woe over what I need, the universe will come back and say, yeah, you need that. Because that's what you said. That's what you get. The need.
Enjoy needing.
The fulfillment of what you thought you were asking for. You did not ask for it. And there are an infinite number of shadow beings operating at multidimensionals that will be happy to be your God or your Jesus or your saint, whatever today. Beware of praying to dead people because they'll be glad to come along for the ride and be your God today. So I encourage everyone when they intend, meditate, and pray, you are opening yourself to that which loves you in all time space. This is very important that you are setting a filter. You're putting on your Kevlar suit. You're not asking for bullets. You're asking for that which loves you in all time space to join with you in this intention. Christ taught us whenever two of you come together, you will do so much. You can move mountains. You will do much more than he has done. We each have that within us, but we're being taught to turn away from each other, to be afraid of each other. Why do you think that's the message? It's quite clear to me. Why isn't it clear to everybody else? Divide and conquer. It's an old strategy. And what makes me so upset is that people keep falling for it, JP. Over and over again.
It's the old, like they say, it literally is the oldest trick in the book.
It's the oldest freaking trick in the book, and yet you keep falling for it? Oh, come on, guys. Yeah. Let's get it together, people. Literally, together we can move mountains.
So.
Together.
So. Trauma release. What are you,
yes.
When you work with people and mm-hmm. they're in a state of, as they say in Scotland, high dough, their frequencies, their octaves are higher, you know. What's the first approach? I mean, you know, how do you deal? And indeed, do you deal with people face to face? I'm presuming you do.
Yeah, we actually prefer telephone, or Skype. We prefer to not be in the energy field with the person.
Yeah. It helps. Well, in that case, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have a trauma release code. It's based on a lot of other modalities like EMF, emotional freedom technique. I'm sorry, EFT, emotional freedom technique. there is a series of body points. We've created a code, and we actually find running our hand over that code is extremely beneficial. So, for instance, somebody calls, oh my God, I was coming home from work and this guy ran the red light and I almost bit it. And they're all like hyped up, you know, the adrenaline's in every cell of the body and they're, you can say, really, really, what are you okay? Is it, oh yeah, everything, you know, they're all emotional. You can be running your finger across the trauma code while they're telling their story. And it's unbelievable. It's just a series of acupressure points, but it's just unbelievable how powerful that is because we have put that in the field since, oh gosh, probably 2003 or earlier, we started working with this. And we found at first you had to tap the points on the body. Then we found reading the code was just as powerful as tapping. Now it's like the 100th monkey syndrome. After this was in the field for a while and we were working with it, we found you could simply run your finger over that. Now I just run my hand down my leg because it's like it's encoded in my thigh. You know, I'm just running my hand over my leg while somebody's telling their story. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, so what you'll have is you'll have layers of trauma. It's like onion skin. So they'll be like, okay, this guy pulled a gun and we all thought we were going to die at the gas station. Really? Okay. So then what happened? And you release the trauma over the fear of seeing the gun, right? But then later they'll go, wait, my trauma's back because, you know, I have this anxiety that I tried to call my mom and she didn't answer the phone. Okay. Wait a minute. That's a different field. So now we deal with that one. We run the trauma release for that field, the fear that you couldn't find your mom or whatever it was. So there's different pieces of the trauma, each one is encoded a little differently. So you release each one as it comes up to heal, because if it's coming up, if it's poking at you, if it's waking you up at 2 a.m. with anxiety or whatever, that means it's coming up to heal. The fact you're conscious of it means it's coming up to heal. So we run the trauma release for each of those pieces. Now there's also some other more advanced techniques we've learned, like putting the breakers back on. In other words, if there's a fire in the house and the fuse box pops and the fire gets put out, you still come into a dark house until you put the breakers back online. So we have some other techniques we use. They're very advanced for bringing all of the neurological system back online with the brain engines in, you know, for the physical body, but ultimately the trauma itself can be released very easily simply with this trauma release. And we give this for away for free on our website and through our YouTube channel.
Good.
We don't, so it's totally a free service, but this
so
has
quickly,
been very-
quickly, science. Hang on a second. Who is we and can you give us the website so people can anchor themselves?
So we work for a group of doctors that practice what's called quantum techniques. We have practitioners all over the world. People train in this. They can use it. We don't sequester anybody. Anybody can use this in their modalities if they're a chiropractor, a psychologist, a therapist, whatever. So it's a version of – it's a very advanced energy healing modality. It's called quantum techniques. And it integrates various other concepts into a fairly advanced set of methods. I've worked for these guys as their content manager, their webmaster, and I'm learning now to get certified so that I can teach these modalities. But I'm not here to sell it. I'm just saying trauma release in itself, my ultimate message was telling the story does not release that trauma. It simply recreates that as if it's a brand victimization. Every time you tell the story.
Exactly.
There are no places in the brain that neuroscience has found yet where we store, quote, memories. Mm-hmm. They haven't found it. It's one of their baffling perplexities that give them quite a bit of angst if they're physicalists.
They haven't got to take account the field yet.
They can't take account the field. And so by actually retelling the story of whatever it was that you think happened to you, it's not actually that thing that happened. That's in the past. It's come, it's gone, it's went. It doesn't exist. All that exists is this moment. So my message to everyone is healing whatever you think you're healing, whether it's our community, unity, relationships, yourself, whatever. It happens in one time and one time only. Would you like to know what that time is?
Go ahead.
Now. You cannot heal in the past and you cannot heal in the future. Healing takes place now. And there's only one now. So when people reconstruct the past, they're really just reconstructing that field now and re-traumatizing themselves now. Healing takes place now, not releasing the trauma by retelling the story.
Oh, I thoroughly agree. The way that that I've been working with people your lady is there, she's got the thing, and you're dealing with each trauma. And then you can come to a point when you think, all right, well, this is a good one. This one's come up a couple of times. And then rather than the events, you just talk about the feeling. And I then invite people to describe the feeling in terms of, because it's hard to feel. People really need to be, pressed to feel something that is particularly uncomfortable. So I first of all ask them to describe it in terms of a color, to make it, to give an abstract, handle to the thing. So I'd ask them to describe it in terms of a color. And I say, if it had a shape, what shape would it be?
Or taste.
And
smell.
To basically focus the senses onto it. And at that point, it then starts to take shape. And then I said, okay, well, now give it a mouth and ask it, what do you want?
A voice, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's all it's wanted.
Yeah, we find there are, for people with chronic illness, particularly or chronic symptoms, we find there is an intention that's being fulfilled by the symptom. And it's not conscious at all. It's not about blame or guilt or shame or there's no consciousness in it. There's a pattern, a subroutine that's been locked into the subconscious that's running, and they're not even aware of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bug in the program.
The system is fulfilling that need, whatever that need is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once we put light on that, and with some simple muscle testing techniques, you can find where those intentions are. When they happen, sometimes it's beneficial. Was it before age 5, before age 12, et cetera? Sometimes that's beneficial. We always ask, do we need to know more? We don't encourage the retelling of the story. People may have an image that comes up while that is being released. They may have if there's a point in the body where you feel a tension, we want to focus on that area of the body. Reconnect it with the brain engines, continue to run the trauma release until that moves out of the body. Because what we're looking for is movement. So we continually breathe up through the earth, out the crown, back down in that circular motion, and release that from the energetic cocoon that we all live in.
Yeah, as long as you can keep breathing, that's the engine to keep it going.
Get up, shuffle the feet. Yeah, if needed be, we get up, shuffle the feet. But we use our own bodies as a surrogate. Quite often, if the person is so differentiated that they're not feeling, in other words, they don't even feel that there's a pinched nerve in the neck, the practitioner quite often will feel that for them. Because they're just not allowing that. They're so differentiated through the trauma and mind, trauma-based mind control, et cetera.
So they can't even feel their own pain.
They can't even feel their own pain. So quite often the practitioner can tune into that for them. Although if I say, you know, I'm feeling something in the gut moving right now, by saying it out loud, sometimes they'll connect with it. Or they may just be so differentiated from it that they just are so disconnected that they're not allowing themselves. But that's also why we have a scan called the seat of consciousness, where we reconnect the seat of consciousness to the body, wherever it has been disassociated, so that you don't want an empty house. I mean, if you go on holiday and you leave the doors open, you're not going to come back to an empty house, are you? So we want to bring people, you know, when we're working with them, back into their bodies. It's very important. And sometimes when people are not feeling their feelings and not associating with the blocks in their body, it's because they've literally flying under the ground or above the ground or 12 feet behind themselves. They're not operating in their own skin. So that is another technique we use. to assist people to be completely in their home.
Yeah, and this is it, about being comfortable in your own skin, as they say in France. Because that's the human condition, or the earth human condition.
It's where we
it's
belong.
It's very uncomfortable here sometimes. Yeah.
Yes, well, but there is enormous benefit to being in the skin. So, the demonizing of the human existence. Yeah. This is a program too. I'm not going to say I've enjoyed being a human being. I'm not going to kid you. I've never been welcome on this planet, but I've had to find a way to operate with the benefits as well as the detriments of being in the human spacesuit. It's a temporary automobile. It's a temporary vessel. It's also my sacred temple. If I treat it as such and understand that, water is incredibly programmable. And this vessel is primarily water. There's a lot of other goodies in there that you can work with. So, let's see. Where to go with that? There's so much right there when you tap on that door, JP. There's a memo out there right now for people who will pick it up that, and I heard somebody this week and I just was like, oh God, I can't believe this is on the airwaves. Programming, you know, that these are just basically that DNA was a prison for the human soul. Wow. How beneficial is that victim story? You know, how are you going to roll with that one? Why don't we talk about the planet as a playpen with lots of bullies? Yeah, they're all in here. All the bullies are here. But what if your loving star family is always there for you? And they're looking out and watching as you come to one of the toughest classrooms in the cosmos because you want to get this done fast. What do we want to get done fast? Well, we want to put our big girls and big boy pants on. Because I got news for everybody. Until you learn to set boundaries, nobody's going to give you the keys to a cosmos. Let's say you want to be the captain of a planetoid-sized spaceship. You're going to have to know how to set boundaries. You're going to have to know how not to listen to gossip. Everything's a rumor unless you witnessed it yourself. Do your own homework. Take personal responsibility.
What's a lovely segue. Hang on a second. We're at the top of the hour. I'm going to play some music in a minute. It's called The Truth Lies Therein by the Sons of Anarchy.
It's a great song, JP.
Vocals by poet John Cooper Clarke. Maybe this year I'm going to be doing some conferences and maybe take them along with me. They're friends of mine and they're fantastic musicians. Listen, Shane, we're going to take a break. Over the next hour, we'll bring some more people in and we'll hammer something out. The truth lies therein. Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, yes, your website, please. While the break is going, We can all have a look at your website. Can you describe it, please?
I have a blog. I don't actually currently have a website.
What about your people website?
I work for Quantum Techniques and that's quantumtechniques.com. If you want to read about my personal spiritual journey, I blog at stonevirtue.com.
And what does metathesis mean?
Metathesis.
Yeah. Or metathesis.
Get your dictionary out.
Ooh. I'll just get Google. John Cooper Clarke, Sons of Arca. The truth lies therein. 432 cycles per second. It's funny, you know, as Zany Dragon Rider typed in, bet it ain't 432 hertz, lol. I had just hit my knee with my tuning fork as I looked up to see that in the chat room. So there you go. If it wasn't 432, that was. I am on Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, on Ever Beyond Radio, probably also on Haggishack Radio. Hello, Colleen. I hope you're well. I hope you're feeling better. You know, I want to channel some of that love, back out to my number one producer, Colleen, who's been very sick in the last few months. And, with her permission, if we could bring her into the state of pure and perfect condition, that would be the most beautiful thing. So thank you. Grace gratitude is another good way of keeping the universe running in on nice oiled rails. Being pleasant to other people. It's people have forgotten that, you know, these basic simple things keep the world running on a very smooth way. But anyway, here we are. And I'm here with Cheyenne. How are you? Are you there? Are you muted?
I am, JP.
You are muted. All right, and you are muted. There we go. Thank you. So yeah, quantum healing technique. Now, can you remind me of the name of the guy? Is it something like Goodman or
The founder of quantum techniques?
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Stephen Daniel.
Dr. Stephen Daniel. Oh, that's not the guy that I was seeing. Look, I saw it once, you know, I'm that eclectic, right? I saw a kind of one of these sales, you know, clickbait sort of videos, like how to, you know, find a way to become the greatest person you ever wanted to be. And I just thought, oh, right. Well, so that's how he does it, right? Okay. So I just kind of figured out my own technique to do it. All I needed to do is, this is the thing with humans. All you need to know is that somebody can do it. And you've said it before. All you need to know is that somebody can do it to be able to do anything. You know?
It's not that we create or find these techniques, whatever the techniques are that assist us. It's that we remember what we already know. I mean, it really is about knowing thyself and doing the inner journey. And I want to reemphasize just a little bit, not to harp too much, but setting boundaries is something that has been wrongfully demonized and a little bit, if I can use the B word, it's been messed up. You know, the concept of setting healthy boundaries. And a lot of illness today, whether it's keeping a foreign frequency like a pathogen, a parasite, Lyme disease, electromagnetic frequencies from the Wi-Fi, whatever people think is ailing them, there are really two categories. What is my body not seeing to deal with it, right? And why is there an open door to it coming in? Or what am I missing that I'm not putting in? So, you know, yes, there may be toxins. Those are really, toxins make us stupid, is Dr. Daniel's favorite saying. But, you know,
literally,
you don't
it's
want
a stupor.
To be-
Yeah.
It's
true.
A stupor. Yeah. Toxins make you stupid. So don't put the stupor on. You know, if you don't want to feel the stupor and be in a stupor, don't put the toxins in. It's a pretty simple thing. It's not that you're broken because your body's sensitive to the poison. The poison is the problem. I mean, when did we turn that around 180, right? Oh, you're just sensitive because you can't handle the poison. No, the poison is the problem. Don't put the poison in. So, so that's part of it. But another part of it, when you get the poison out and you're not putting it in anymore, is what is my body not seeing that it's not dealing with it? What is my open door to this parasitic frequency? Whether that parasitic frequency is a person who you're not saying no to when you need to say no, maybe that problem is that I'm not saying that I honor other people's boundaries. Maybe I'm violating someone's boundary each day in my life. Maybe I'm not listening good enough and I'm imposing my energy on someone. But whether I'm the perpetrator, whether I'm the perp or whether something else is the perp, there's an open door there. So we find the doors, we close those doors, and those doors are typically false or convoluted belief systems buried in the subconscious during a moment of trauma, during a high triggered emotional state.
So.
And the triggers stop when you release all of those false beliefs. And usually just by acknowledging them, they just flitter away like little gnats coming out of the compost pile. They just kind of fly away and go away.
So I was fascinated when I saw this quantum healing technique, because it connects completely in with this message that I got, like I was saying, from my own, you know, my own ancestor, if you like, or what do you call them? The antecedent? No. Protester? No.
Predecessors?
Predecessor. Yeah, probably. Well, it's kind of me in the future. How do you call that? I don't know. Well, anyway.
Oh, your future. Oh, you coming back to help you.
My own me, you know. Jeremy.
Well, it was a wonderful movie that I love about that. It was actually produced by Disney, of all people.
Right, well, capturing children's imaginations, I don't care about that. But anyway.
I know, but it was so beautiful. Yeah, coming back and talking. Richard Bach wrote about this
anyway, I did this yesterday, you know.
you know, I want to hear.
In the now.
The
So I asked, because he came back very specifically to talk about what's going on in February, and that I had to have this portal in my kitchen closed for good reasons or whatever. And so he contacted me through a medium. It was a real Bill and Ted moment, you know. Remember to just...
So let me just clarify. Yeah. You're saying JP came from the future to talk to JP.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he called himself Jeremy Perron, which is my, you know, I'm called Jeremy Perron, but he spoke it with a very French Canadian accent, apparently. So it's taken a bit of his you know, so maybe it's another part. My father was French Canadian. So, you know, it's like the other half of that. Anyway, so he calls himself. But here's what he said. All right. And, I want you all to take it as he's not just talking to me, he's talking to you as well. All right?
Yes.
I will explain as it is time to express it, but here is a sneak preview. You will be connecting sources together in an interweaving operation that is only possible from an Earth 3D standpoint. It will be an interface, a portal, a tunnel through the fifth dimension, and anchor the new energy lines onto the planetary grid. You've done much work in your dream travels, and you've helped to clear much of your local area. There will be rejoicing on many dimensions soon enough. There are others around the world doing this, and you will be immediately notified of its success. It will make itself very apparent. We cannot say too much to you, because the sense of wonder would be diminished if you knew how everything went.
No, you cannot know, and there must be the mystery. Yes, and the mystery is critical.
Yeah. I haven't finished it. Hang on, John.
Two more! Yay!
Breath. So it will be enjoyable to those like you who have fully embraced this. You will be anchors, the eye of the storm, the center of the vortex. All will rotate around you. Yet there are other timelines when you didn't quite get to the right vibrations. And they are long gone as models.
They're gone.
This is
They're
the collapsed. Way as I am the proof. You have since become known. You will return to your place. It will be good, and you will feel finally fulfilled. It will be a good place. You will hold that in your heart and be able to be generous to everyone in the universe. I love you.
Oh, yes. You're so loved. So much grace. So I had a vision that was a very ethereal and esoteric and ecstatic vision out of my body. I want to say around 2006, where I was shown the nodes on the grid, and not the grid that we think of as the Harman grid or other ley line grids on the earth, but a grid that exists outside, an etherical grid outside of the planet. And the node of each, I was taken on a little rapid journey along these lines and shown the nodes where they intersect. And at the intersection was someone, some single solitaire someone setting in their heart. And so we are the Christ grid. Each of us has a role to play in that grid. And your heart is one of those nodes on that crystalline earth grid, that very amazing and real and powerful grid. And that message is a message about your role in that grid.
And everybody else's, you know, this is, I'm just one of many. And it's beautiful.
You're one of many, but there's no just about it. Okay.
All right. I'm one of many. I'm not trying to
humble. Set the ego here. It's not about ego at all. It's about the heart living in balance in a beauty way and what that means to that grid. And, you know, yes, someone can fall off the apple cart and the grid continues. However, you're making a choice to be part of that Christ, I call it Christos, that pure heart grid. You're choosing that.
Yeah.
And by choosing it, it chooses you.
Yeah.
The frequencies resonate as one. It's your choice to be more giving than taking. It's your choice to be, for others. It's your choice to intend a higher vibrational reality for all of us to exist in.
Well, someone's got to do it. It's, I don't put myself out as like one of the greatest examples of the human being.
I really feel like a kind of
Homer Simpson, you know.
Okay. You can be Homer and be on the grid. That's
and,
all right.
You know, there's a place for Homer. Yeah, there's a place. He's got
right.
a good heart.
Place for... you know, humility is very welcomed, always. There's a grand place for the teachable heart. But that grid is real. And that grid is what holds this place together every single day.
You know, there's a thing, I want to find another piece that he said, which was again, I think I read it before, but when did it, 28th, 23rd. Yeah, there was something about, he talked about Trump and how that all worked out.
Trump.
Yeah. And that, it, you know, that, don't worry, it's all fine. But here we go, is the, right. We were talking about, the cycles, and he said there are cycles and this is one of them. If you keep drawing future manifestations into your now moment, you will prevent and contract any opposition to our and your plan, which is the same. So what he means is the more you can defragment yourself, the less they can hurt you. And so this is the point that has been spoken of since the 60s. Get yourself together really literally means find your fragments. Recover your inner child. Become whole as much as you can.
Yes.
And as you move towards wholeness, wholeness moves towards you. And other parts of you that are considerably more whole will realize, oh, we're another gathering point. You know, because we clump, we cluster. At some point, somebody says, I'm lonely. Where is the rest of me? Ah, oh, there. And they join together.
That's right.
And then some other points that happens. And then those little groups, they join together with other little groups and they become and become and become, you know, we become a clan. We become a nation. We become a country. Mm-hmm. We become a planet.
Mm-hmm.
Conscious. Mm-hmm. And that's how it has to happen. Governments have to go away.
It has to happen. We have to come together within our own, by doing our own dust bunny cleaning, going under our own beds and grabbing all the cobwebs and dust under there and cleaning it out, we're also finding how to connect with each other. If our internal systems are cesspools, if we're not pushing the dirty dishes back across the table for the other person to clean up on their own, they're not going to learn from the mess they made. And at the same time, if we're not taking ownership of our own dirty dishes, we essentially become a wheelbarrow that's a cesspool for everybody else's mess, right? In our lives. Like, by not setting those boundaries and saying, wait a minute, I didn't make this mess. Here, let me slide this mess back across the bar to you. You get your gloves on, you get your dish soap, and you clean it up. And I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to clean up my dishes. That's a metaphor for the emotional mess that each of us have now got to face, because we cannot drag that cesspool, that overflowing porta potty, into the next dimension and vibration. It cannot come along for the ride. So we either stay with our cesspool and wallow in it, or we deal with it now because it cannot be brought into the next vibrational reality that's already started to assimilate here, right here, right now. So we're all being, some people are being triggered, like they're going, oh my God, it's all such a mess, blah, 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 and they're all wallowing in the mess, right? Well, no, roll up your sleeves and start cleaning it up. So this is not about going, oh my God, we've made a mess. This is about, oh my God, there's a mess. Let me take care of that. Let's put on our rubber gloves. Let's get out our Dr. Bronner's magic soap and let's start cleaning it up. So those who have not started that journey are going to find themselves in a mess of an overwhelm right now, because that cannot exist in the next reality. We can't be codependent upon each other, dysfunctionally speaking, to deal with each other's messes or to give each other what we have not loved ourselves enough to give ourselves. So if I don't love myself enough to give myself a foot massage, my partner, if I have one, isn't going to be able to give that to me either, because I'm going to be resentful if they try to force that upon me, right? Because I'm going to resent the fact I didn't do it for myself. So we have to, one, love ourselves enough to give ourselves this gift of cleaning out the cesspool. Let's call the honey wagon, as they call it in Arizona. We have a lot of septic tanks in Arizona. It's just a very rocky area of the world. We can't be running septic lines to the water treatment plants. So we all have our own little septic tanks we take care of. And we have what we call the honey truck. It comes out and it pumps out the cesspool. Pump out the cesspool, boys and girls. Let's clean up that emotional mess, where we had our little wheelbarrow in life, and we may have thought, oh, I'm going to help my mom deal with all of her anger she didn't deal with. Now, we're not conscious we're doing that. We're just loving and caring, and we're empathetic, and mom's got a lot of anger. When I'm 3 years old, I think I'll just take some of that on for her. No, that anger is there for her to learn from, where she didn't set her boundaries in life. She's only angry out of fear. She didn't say no someplace. So we send that back to mom, whether mom's still alive or not. It doesn't matter. It's for that being, that differentiated part of all that is and all will ever be, our creator spirit, to learn from. So we send it back to where it came from with love, in a loving way. And we say, that's not mine. Now, is 30% of that anger mine? Okay, let me come over here and be humble and deal with my 30%. But most of the time, people aren't even dealing with their own emotions. Why could they not feel it? They're either out of their body. The seat of consciousness is not residing within the physical body. Another huge part of it is they're not even carrying their own emotions. They're carrying a wheelbarrow full of sludge of everybody else's emotions, that those people are not wanting to deal with their emotions. So we have to send those emotions home. Those are the teachers of the others in our lives. They're there for them to learn from.
So pump out the tank.
You know what? I just said a lot right there. I know that. I realize that.
Well, look, yeah, you know, this is where we get to, you see, because when you're in this position, yeah, we're pumping out the tank. You know, this wave that is coming on us, that is coming from the central galactic sun or the galactic central core or the universal core or, you know,
the
whatever it is.
The being of all creation.
Yeah, or God, you know, the mind of God is expanding and, you know, all this stuff. Or the mind of the mother, you know, don't genderize it. It's, you know, but anyway.
That's right. No gender required.
We are being invited to plug in our mental mobile phones. Cell phones.
Yes.
Recharge them. Get credit on them forever.
Download.
Yeah. Get the latest version of the operating system. Get the latest images and connect with all the latest social networks.
Yes.
Recharge our personal battery. Recharge our soul connection. So there's,
yes.
you know, there's meditations
oh,
that
brother,
you can do.
I want that one. Yeah. I want that one right there.
For instance, right. Okay. So there's, imagine that you're a piece, you're a fragment of your soul indwelling in the body. Imagine being able to, open up the little pressure line that joins you to the main soul and that you can flush out
yes.
the bit of you that's been in here that is bored and stale and another part of you can come back that wants to enjoy the experience. That's also possible, you know, because there's parts of you that are like, oh yeah. I know this. Stop it. Please let me out. You know, there's another part of you that, oh look, can I come in? Cause I am really excited about being here.
That's right.
And this is what can happen at a moment such as this. You see, all these eclipses and full moons that we're having. Anybody know, have you noticed that there's an eclipse almost every month? You know, this is because the solar system is in a flat space and, you know, we're in alignment. That's what alignment is, you know, so we're getting eclipses all the time because that's what it means. When we're having loads of these, this is the time of the crossing, and the time of the crossing is like a kind of, like I said before, when you press in the clutch, it's like everything's freewheeling and can readjust. So a new gear can engage with the old gear. Things can change over. And like I say, you know, the parts of you that are not happy about being here, do a meditation, give them back up to your soul and now allow fresh parts to come in. Because I've just said you can do it, you can do it. Because it's a meditation that lots of people have done. It's not because I'm giving permission. I'm saying there's a precedent. That's the thing. It's not about permission. It's about precedent, knowing that you can do it. You know?
You can also connect with your star family. You can say I'm nuts if you want. You know, people can really judge me on this one, but I strongly believe based on my own experiences that we each have a very loving astral family. There may be times in our lives when we feel so separated and so wallowed in the mire of our own life's traumas that we don't see that. But I can tell you as someone who has sunk so low that I've seen the fiber that connects me to this physical body stretched thinner than a thousandth of a human hair, and they wouldn't let me go. They wouldn't let me fall any further. I tried so hard to cut the cord and they would not allow it. My work had not been completed. And in that very, very far down dark dungeon of a place, I could not deny that they were there and that I was still very much loved and not alone. Even though I felt incredibly alone from a human perspective. So I speak from a place of experience, and I've had experiences I wouldn't wish on anyone. I would not even tell, because in telling them, I would be putting something upon people that I don't want anyone to ever have to experience. And even in those dark places, I found that I was not alone, that they were there doing what they could. I believe our star families try so hard to gift us and communicate with us, but it's just like us, and I've said it on your show before, JP, it's just like us trying to go into a haunted house and talk to the ghost. We are the anomaly in the machine. Humans are the ghost in the machine when others are trying to assist us from a higher realm, from a higher vibrational existence. And so they are trying very, very much and all the time to love and to communicate. But it's very, very difficult in our situation where we have sunk to. And Earth has sunk about as low as she can go. Unfortunately, there's always a bigger beast in the, you know, it's like hand arm wrestling. There's always some guy that's got bigger muscles, right? I don't want to know how much lower she could go. But we're on the upside now. We're coming back up. And from a consciousness and emotional and a spiritual standpoint. So, I just encourage people to see that there is so much love and grace and beauty. It's, if you focus, you're going to attract what you focus on. And I'll leave it at that. But we all have a star family. I don't think I'm any more special. Tolex, no special. Adana, the others that are speaking out right now. We're not the only ones with star families.
Yeah, you're just
you
first.
All have a star family.
Yeah, exactly. And to that end, I have started the Galactic Free Alliance. Okay. I updated the website last night. I started it, you know, I bought the website about a year and a half ago. Muggsy said, you know, I said to Muggsy, oh, who are my people, what are they called? And she said, Galactic Free Alliance or something. And I said, oh, cool. So I thought, I bought it. I bought galacticfreealliance.com. And so what that is a kind of umbrella portal that brings you into the different clubs. And there's Pleiadian, and I've started so far, Pleiadian.club, Lyran.club, and Arcturian.club. I started that one yesterday. And there'll also be Syrian. And basically, I want to bring the different families together with their own and together with everybody.
That's right. That's right.
And so...
And some of us, you know, some of us are lineages are multi-galactic, you know.
Yeah, well,
just like you don't have, like, I'm half Native American and half Euro descent. I'm also in a galactic, you know, that's my human flesh suit, but in a galactic sense, we're multi-galactic beings too. Not all of us are from a planet or a galaxy.
Well, that's what my guide said to me years ago. They said, you're half Pleiadian, half Lyran. And I wondered what that meant. Now I understand. It's like, it's a lot more complex, but here I am. I'm here to, yeah.
It's good to have that community because some of us are starting to have experiences that frankly can be a little
very confusing,
disconcerting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've had pieces of myself coming in that I had never connected with these aspects of myself, and it's very powerful. And it's very if you're older, like I'm one of the what they call the first waves, I'm an old woman, so you know, it can be a little unsettling when you realize, you know, when you look through your eyelids and realize you're seeing through your other galactic body, and it ain't like this human skin suit, let me tell you. You know, things like that. Or you're looking across the table at your father and he looks very different than any human being that you've ever met. So, you know, some of these things can be a little unsettling. So it's good to have a network, a place where people can come and share with each other and talk about their experiences in an open, non-judgmental forum. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what your intents are, but.
You don't know what?
I said, I don't know what your intentions are with the site, but.
Well, I don't know. I don't really have intentions. I just do what occurs to me to do, really. And some things happen completely out of time. So. I'll start this and then I'll start Lyran.club and then I'll meet someone from New Lyra who's telling the same story, and that's Audrey, right? So I thought, right, well,
I have strong Lyran lineage.
Yeah, well, so, you know, we've all got Lyran. We're all Lyran. That's much from my
yes.
So here's the thing. All right. So this is the message that I read out in the other thing, but, I read it in Nancy's show, but I want to read it in mine as well. So this is from this future version of JP. You will discover the secret to time travel soon, and you will be able to connect with your other selves in other dimensions. This will create a new form of multidimensional beingness for you that will take on with other humans, like, or will take off with other humans. The idea that existing multidimensionally and attempting to add consciousness continuity to their beingness. It's a fascinating new science. Yes, you're a pioneer. The short answer is you already have it and you simply need to discover it. More than that, I cannot say yet. Existence in this holographic universe is more than a linear birth to death thing. So.
When would you go in time if you know time travel?
Well, this is the question I asked in the chat room earlier on. You know, if say they discover time travel, right? They discover a box in Antarctica that can take you anywhere and anywhere, right? And they said, right, everybody on the planet is given two tickets. You can go somewhere in the past or somewhere in the future. Where or when would you go? You know, as a challenge, you know, as an opportunity, let's say. What would you do? Some people might go and have fun. Some people might go, oh, I want to go back in the past and try and kill Hitler. You know, I want to go back in the past and watch the first primordial oozy thing, squeezing its way out of, you know, and then stamp on it, you know, and then cease to exist. You know, whatever you want to do, whenever and wherever you want to go, because it's a hologram, you know, it's not saying it's not an illusion. It's all real. You'll feel it. You'll feel the consequences of it, but it's more malleable than you think it is, or than we've been led to believe. And that therefore, in the now moment, as you feel, so you will experience tomorrow. You know, your feelings of today are your experiences of tomorrow. And that's how we create our world. Go ahead.
There's a lot of people that are not ready for what you're contemplating in this statement. I want you to understand that. There's a whole lot of people that aren't ready to leave the comfort of their mental matrix, mm-hmm. of a linear timeline. Now, for people like me, I have been out of my body more than in it as a child. I was recently writing about an experience. One of my mini, oh, she's dead again. Let's get to the hospital. Scenes as a child, and I can remember flying above the car as they're plowing down the dirt road, trying to get me to the hospital. And watching my grandmother yelling at me and beating on me, don't you die on me. And I'm above the car watching through the top of the roof of the car. And when you leave your human body, you've left the vessel of gravity, the well of gravity that the human body creates. You're no longer bound by time. And I did that a lot. Let's just say I was a very explorative child and got myself in trouble a lot in a physical way. So I left my body a lot. And it became old school after a while. I just did it because I could. But when you leave that vessel and pop out of the body, in a way, you pop out. And when you do that, I can always remember every single time. My star family was always sitting there going, you're not done yet. You got to go back. Don't make me go back into the bad playpen with all the bullies. You got to go back. But every time I would pop out, I would have this experience of, I had this thing, JP. I wanted to grow up. I had these cousins that were 7, 8, and 9 years older than me that was closest. They were the only kids close to me were 7, 8, and 9 years older. And I just thought that they could move mountains and, you know, run the world because they could do things I couldn't do as a small child. And I can remember thinking when I was 3 and 4 and 5 and all the way up, if I could just hurry up and grow up so I can get there and do what cousin Janice does. And, So I was in a big hurry. I really just wanted to grow up like nobody's business. I was very cognitive of it because my closest playmates were 7, 8, and 9 years older and mostly adults for that matter, old adults. But I just kept, you know, I had this worshiping of the older and the more mature around me. And so I was in a big hurry. And I could remember thinking how and feeling how slowly my body was growing, how slowly time was passing. But every single time I died and left my body, every single time I ventured out of my body, I can always remember the same experience. No matter how many years or days had passed up into that point of leaving my body, it was like a picnic yesterday in the park, that whole duration. It could be 12 years of my life. But when I was out of that life and out of the physical gravity well of the body, it felt like it had just been, oh, we went to the park yesterday and I played frisbee for 2 hours and then I came home. That's all it felt like. There's a thing about this planet where we feel like a lot of time has passed, but when you leave this planet, it's infinitesimally small how much time has passed.
Well, I had Kolek on the show last week.
That's one of the things to contemplate when you talk about having the ability to travel time. You also have to start dealing with the concept that time is relative.
And it's connected to gravity, as you've been saying.
Absolutely.
You see, Tolek was talking about this last week as well.
And I think I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago as well. Yeah, we've been taught through our teachers as best as they can explain to our peon human brains, because it's really difficult to contemplate some of these thoughts within our construct of this physical being. But yes, time is very dependent on gravity. I would tune people into maybe the movie Interstellar. Interstellar gets a little bit into this in a screen way that you might be able to wrap yourself around in that movie. But yes, when you leave the planet, it's all bets are off on your concept of time. This is why some of the quote technologies of the species that are less than loving and benevolent, who quote abduct people and so forth, they seem magical, you know, in their ability to drill time. I've actually had experiences where I'm taken up and I've arrived back before I left.
And do you find yourself like laying in bed, like, and you wait for them to be taken so you can then take the place and go back to sleep?
Yeah, I'll be driving down the road knowing you have exactly 48 minutes until you pull in your driveway, assuming there's no delays. And then you get home into your driveway before you actually left the other location. Yeah, try to figure that one out. But yeah, it's not that they have some magical ability. They just have a comprehension of time and gravity. And they have the mathematics and to comprehend and to navigate it. Just like it may have seemed magical back in the time of Columbus to say somebody circumnavigated the planet with no issues or hiccups. That may have sounded impossible to Columbus. They navigate time. They navigate it the way we navigate our GPS to the local shopping mall. So that's something to consider when you start talking about time travel technology. Is the actual navigation. It's not just, oh, now you've got more cards on the table to play. It's like, it's no longer a flat two-dimensional chessboard with checkerboard, right? Now we flipped it and it's now that five-level chessboard that you see on Star Trek. Yeah, you got to pump up your game. boys and girls. So this is why I talk about putting our big boys and girl pants on. We need to clean out the emotional dust bunnies. We need to grow ourselves up and stop deferring to the, you know, straw man arguments and circular reasoning and false authority figures in white robes, whatever they are. Because if you're going to be given the keys to a large planetoid-sized starship and made captain, are you ready for that? We need mature souls in the universe. There are a lot of jobs that have not been filled, and they're constantly open job wrecks in the galaxy and other galaxies and other realities that you can't even imagine. So our job here on this planet, right here, right now, is to graduate. Get your diploma. There are job wrecks waiting for you to apply for. But you need some qualifications. And one of the top qualifications is not finding it emotionally traumatizing to use the little word that has two characters, N-O. Sometimes no is just no. Putting up a barrier and not letting the parasites in. You don't rationalize with the tapeworm in your gut or love it away. You simply starve it out of existence. So these are things we have to get the emotional, mental, and spiritual maturity to deal with, because you're not going to be running a galactic starship if you can't say no to Aunt M who keeps violating your boundaries. I know I'm sounding kind of insulting, but I don't mean it to be. These are places I've journeyed, and I'm trying to encourage others. You can do this. You can take personal responsibility for everything in your reality. Fake it till you can make it. Even if you blame the collective consciousness for some horrible situation you're currently going through, I love you. God bless you. Know that you have not stopped being loved during this turmoil. But also know the turmoil you're standing in right now is for your benefit. Learn from it. Grow within it. Stand up and take dominion of yourself. Because by doing that, you're going to take the next step and the next step and the next step.
So, next steps. Level up is where we're at. I mean, we're basically, we've gone from two-dimensional ping pong to a real player, you know, real player, what do you call them? POV. We're in a much more multidimensional world, you know, because, you know, we're now having to deal with parallel universes, quantum versions of ourselves. Now, what I learned this time when I started this, I thought, well, yeah, as I said, I saw the little video that you did, and I thought, oh, well, I can do that. So I made myself a little quantum room, and I made a bell and a door. And, you know, I said, you know, it's like one of those little buzzers on the front door of someone's house. And you press the buzzer, and I said, I'd like to speak to the Jeremy who is more wealthy than me, who's the most wealthy Jeremy. And so I put him in there, and what he said, suit yourself. That's all he said. Suit yourself.
What did you do with that?
Well, that was cool because I thought, okay, yeah, I get you. It means many things, right? If you're smart, you can understand, right? By suiting yourself, number one, when you suit yourself is you do what you want to do, right? You do things that suit your way of being. Another suit is to put on a skin. You understand? To put on a frame, to don a suit, like a space suit. That will take me into an environment that allows me to operate within that environment. So I could also say that a business suit does the same thing. You know, a business suit, if I put a suit on, I then have credibility in the business world. You can't go into the business world without a business suit. You know, you won't be taken seriously. So that's another. And also a suit is also a uniform. So if I address in a particular way, I'll be acceptable within a certain group of people, you know?
It could also mean like the old, there's an old sales teaching for salespeople, marketing. If you want to be the guy that makes $100,000 a year, you need to start hanging around and dressing like and going to the places where people that make $100,000 a year are hanging out.
Correct.
In other words, suit yourself up in that, consciousness.
Precisely.
That reality, that
Precisely.
Physical, yeah.
So there you go, people.
And that's an interesting, metaphor for also for the dimensional shift and the energy shift that we're going through cosmically, because one of the things I found in 2016 is I felt like I was working four or five jobs at once. It was like it took so much energy to hold up the physical structure of what normally would have just, okay, you start it up, you get it running, and it runs, right? No, I was constantly working to hold it up. It was like the house was falling down and I was rebuilding it. And then I realized I wasn't utilizing the etherical energy that was coming in to work in a more metaphysical approach rather than always approaching everything from the physical way. So physical world, because it's still here, obviously. So it was like I was trying to hold it up while this other energy was coming in, and it was like I was four of me trying to hold up what normally one person would do. I don't know if other people had that experience in 2016.
Well, do you know what?
It was very daunting.
Do you know why?
And exhausting.
It's because the people who were supposed to step up hadn't stepped up, and you had to take up the slack.
And maybe I sound a little judgy, and maybe I
Well,
sound
you're probably a little tired. Just a little tired.
Because I'm telling people to put their big girls and boys pants on. But I have to tell you, we can't drag you along, boys and girls. You know, mom and dad can't take the whole kindergarten for the ride here.
That's right.
So
if somebody's pulling you up out of the...
I'm not trying to put myself better than anybody. Don't get me wrong at all. I grow myself up every single day. Every single day I have a talk with myself. What do I need to work on today? So I'm not trying to be better than anybody. This is the planet of the children. This is the teaching from the Deer Tribe, Métis tribe that I come from, my teachings that I give so much love and adoration to those that came before me and shared the wisdom teachings of the great Twisted Hair Council. This is called the planet of a children for a reason. We need more help than any of the other 12 planets that are just like this planet. But we have to do our part. You know, the teacher can't drag the kindergartner through to graduation. The kindergartner has to do their part. And, you know, what they're asked to do. And so I'm very willing to help people. I'm very willing to share what I've learned. And let me tell you, I got the scuffs on the knees and the scars to prove it. I didn't get there easy where I am now, and I got a long way to go. But I will be more than willing to help anybody else. And that's why I'm coming out and talking. That's why I'm joining the radio shows.
Cool.
We have to share what we've learned.
Absolutely. How can people connect with you? You spell out your website again.
I have a blog, Stone Metathesis. I'm sorry, stonevirtue.com. Stonevirtue.com if you want to check out some of my musings. But you can write me at Cheyenne Stone. That's CHEYENESTONE. At onebox.com.
Thank you very much. It's been
a
lovely journey. Go ahead. You got more. Go on.
I just wanted to say there's just one N in Cheyenne. Let spell check pull you.
Yeah, so it's CHEYENE.
Yeah.
And you pronounce it exactly?
S-T-O-N-E. Cheyenne, like Wyoming.
Like Wyoming. I read a book about a girl called Wyoming once. She was called Wyoming Knot. But you can call me Y.
I like that.
Yeah. It's a book by Robert Heinlein called Do Cowgirls Get the Blues? Very strange.
Just don't call me Diane.
Not Diane. But it's like Diane, it rhymes with Cheyenne.
It's like Diane with a CH, yeah.
All right. Diane. Well, that's good. That's good. Cause there's different ways of saying these very subtle different names. And, you know, one fellow from Newcastle says, it's not spelled S-I-A-N. You know, cause it can also be, you know, Cyan.
Cyan.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Like the great, Battlestar Galactic.
Yeah. Or the, you know, the star. Isle Cyan.
Or the Priory of Zion.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of Cyan. The star called Alcyone. If you take off the owl, which means the, then you end up with Cyan, don't you?
Be careful now. Owl's one of my medicine animals.
Oh, owl. It's just an owl.
Don't be taken off the owl. I'm just joking with you.
Oh, well, there's a lady, who's a listener to, Sean's show, who runs an owl sanctuary. And so she's always posting these beautiful, pictures of owls and what they're up to and just great things. Yeah.
What's his name? Mike McClellan. I love his work. I have an owl story that's unbelievable. I'll have to share it on my blog.
It's Montine McCord, but, who runs the sanctuary, anyway, so yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, Mike writes about owl stories. Michael McClellan, I think is his name. Oh, that would be wonderful to meet her. I would love to meet the owls in the sanctuary. I've always been a bird person. My, sun bear astrology sign is red tail hawk, but I can see the birds before anybody knows the birds out there. I mean, I'm always looking up and, so I have a lot of bird medicine.
Mm. I always love the birds.
But the owls are.
I always love the birds. They gather around me in the garden. It's just such a lovely thing. Yeah, I have my you know, my little chicken sanctuary here, and so I've got four chickens. Everybody knows about my chickens. And indeed, it's the year of the chicken. I like to give another blessing to everybody that in the year of the chicken. May you have many, many bucks. May everybody have as many bucks as they need to pay off the debts, to become free, to do what they need to do. Because really, that's all it is. People say, I would love to do that, but I haven't got the money. Oh, I'd love to do that, but I've got a job. I only have a job. Why? Because I haven't got the money. You know.
When you say, I don't have a job, when you say, I don't have money, the cosmos says, yes, you don't have a job.
Exactly.
Yes, you don't have money. I mean, these things, if you want to know where you're going to be tomorrow, guys, I want to give everybody a little secret here. If you want to know what's going to happen in your life tomorrow, it's very simple. Listen to what you're thinking and what's coming out of your mouth today, because that's exactly where you'll be tomorrow. So change your vernacular. Change your belief, because there are zero. There's no shortage of food, money, wheat, barley. I don't care what it is. If there is an absence of something, we have created it with our belief and our words. Send it out and it will come. I want to tell you, there's a little story on my blog, but I'll just share it very briefly. I'm in the car with a really good friend. She is voted the president of our nonprofit community center in a very tiny town I live in. And we're driving down the road and she's sharing this cool little story about how they're all getting together on the board and they're sharing ideas. She's opening up the table. Give me ideas, anything, dream it, make it, you know, just give it to me. We'll see what we can make happen. And so one of her ideas required more space. And I turned around to her and I said, you know, there's an empty church building next to the community center that hasn't been utilized in the 13 years I've lived here. It's just sitting there. Beautiful cinder block building, nice clean roof, doesn't leak. It's just sitting there. Nobody's doing anything with it. And she went, yeah, there is. I'll check into that. 2 days later from saying these words to her, the person who owned the building called to see if they would accept it as a donation. Are you listening? A building. Send it out and it will come. Whatever you want. Make it so, number one.
Beaming out. So.
This is the world we are in now.
That's it.
We've been in it. People just didn't realize. We're in this world.
Cheyenne Stone, thank you so much. You'll be back. We'll talk more about releasing trauma and, you know, how people can do it for themselves. Thank you so much. Good evening. Good night. Good morning, everyone.
Blessings, everyone.